You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt on the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And hello there and good morning. Welcome along to The Garden Show. I'm Frank Proctor, the sous chef of the garden. Charlie Dobbin to my left, to your right probably as you're looking at the radio. Yeah. But nonetheless, we're here on a rather rainy Saturday morning. Rather
right.
Rainy. Once I switch from backstroke to crawl, as I said to Dave and Christina, who are our producers today, I made it into work much faster. God, it was just coming down in torrents.
Teeming.
Yeah.
Cats
I'm feeling dogs. I'm feeling awfully sorry, really, for all the women who are walking, and there are guys walking, too, for the weekend to end women's cancers. We'll be getting kind of an update about 9:30 this morning.
To hear what stroke they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they're out there in this weather.
Oh, man.
Oh, well.
Of all that, you work a whole year to plan this, and then the Mother Nature says, guess what?
I know. But
yeah,
good for the ducks.
Yeah.
Good for the gardens.
Yeah.
And, we haven't exactly been overwhelmed by the amount of rain this
that
summer.
That is absolutely true, Charlie.
So
absolutely
you're
true.
Right. Rivers are running high. ditches are running
river
deep.
Running high.
No, I came down the Don Valley Parkway and it was a river.
So,
I came surfing down the highway.
Wow.
So, it's a lot of rain out there.
Well, we'd like to hear from you, my friends. This is The Garden Show. Question about your garden? Well, shoot it to Charlie. She'll fix you up. Number to call. For Toronto area listeners, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere else in the province, 1-866-740-4740. And this is one of those mornings that I wish it had been television. We could, I'd turn the camera toward Charlie as she's reefing her jacket, which had a zipper stuck over her head, and she was saying naughty words.
As I was pouring moisture all over the floor. Anyhow, here's some upcoming events. For those of you that don't want to listen to us whine about how wet it is today, tomorrow you can add a piece of the Royal Botanical Gardens iris collection to your very own garden. This year's auxiliary fall plant sale features hundreds of one-of-a-kind iris direct from the RBG's historic Laking Garden. So that's tomorrow from 11 until 4 p.m. at the Arboretum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's certainly worth checking out. This Monday, September the 10th, I'll be visiting the Harriston and District Hort Society and helping to celebrate them 60 years and going strong. Big banquet going on in Harriston. So I'll be presenting after the banquet, Great Gardens with Less Water. Timely topic when it's pouring rain, but still, good topic based on the kind of growing season we've had. Lots of things going on. Tuesday, September the 11th, Scarborough Garden and Hort Society presents Four Seasons Gardening. Pathways to Perennials will be on site at the Scarborough Village Community Center, 3600 Kingston Road and Markham Road. Of course, everyone is welcome and refreshments are offered. Same day, Wednesday, September 12th, the Burlington Hort Society General Meeting and Flower Show. I mentioned this last week. They're having that from 7:30 till 9 p.m., and that's the Burlington Senior Center. Topic is 1812 Perennials, Then and Now, and Tony Post will be presenting that that topic. The Riverdale Hort Society will be meeting on September the 12th as well, which is the Wednesday. That's a change. Their previously published program had them doing the awards presentation that evening, but they have changed. They are not doing the awards presentation. They've postponed that. Instead, Frank Kershaw will do a slide presentation on inspiring fall and winter gardens. And they're going to be meeting at the Clubhouse, which, again, this is a different location. Normally, they meet at Frankland Community Center. This Wednesday, they're meeting at the Clubhouse in Withrow Park at 7 p.m. There'll be a potluck and Frank's presentation. What else? Oh, that's probably that's the main stuff to
the
share
stuff?
With you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got a full lineup already, so Dave and Christina have been doing their job. God bless them. Mm-hmm. Our little mantra that I forgot to pass along, so I better do it. Remember now, call early, call often. One question per call. So if you get on and you in the middle of your diatribe, think, I want to ask one more question. No, hang up and then call back. Yeah, that's the way it goes. Okay, are we all set to roll
along?
That's
right.
Okay.
Patrolman Proctor's on duty.
Right. We're going to be back to talk to Bob right here in TO right after these words on AM 740, The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And those of you just digging into breakfast, hold on just a minute. wait for a moment, because Bob in Toronto wants to talk about white grubs. Ooh, yummy, yummy. Hi, Bob. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was wondering, this year, being such a hot extended summer, mm-hmm. when should I apply the spray for white grubs? Like this year, they don't seem to be too many, but there's a lot more of those little long-winged moths that seem to, I guess everything goes in cycles.
Well, it does, but also it's a time of year. Remember the way it works with the white grubs. What grubs are currently alive and eating your lawn are tiny. They're microscopic. They're so small that you probably wouldn't even see them, but you will start to see the damage because the whole nest of eggs tends to all hatch at one time.
Well, the coons let you know, right?
Well, the coons let you know once the grubs get bigger. So that's why the coons usually do all the damage to our lawns in the spring, because by that time the grubs have eaten all fall, overwintered down deep in the soil, and then come back up in the spring to continue eating, and they're a lot bigger by then. So, but you're absolutely right. The nematodes can be applied now. You wouldn't do it in the pouring rain, but all this moisture is perfect because you do want to put the grubs onto a moist lawn.
How about the spray? Because the nematodes are very expensive, and I'm not so sure they work that well. But, I mean, that's just my opinion.
But what spray would you be talking about?
Well, there is a spray put out by Wilson's. It's specifically formulated for white grubs.
And I believe, and is it, you're thinking of like a bug, not bug be gone, but something like that.
Well, no, it's designed for the grubs. I don't know what they put in it, but you put it on the end of the hose and it's metered out by the hose flow.
Yeah, so off the top of my head, I'm not sure what it is, but it probably is a pyrethrin-based spray. If you look at the active ingredient, it'll probably say something about pyrethrin. The whole trick with any spray, any kind of troubleshooting that you're trying to do, read the instructions very carefully and follow them to
but
the
that's
letter.
That's the guy's thing, isn't it? That all else fails, you read the instructions. Right?
But so many people call and say, but it didn't work.
Isn't
and I
that?
Go, well, did you read the instructions? So, you know, timing is everything. If you want these things to work, it's got to do with temperature. It's got to do with moisture. It's got to do with you getting that spray down to where the grubs might be, and also spraying where you are seeing grubs or grub damage. It's going to start as a little, like a loony-sized yellow, round, typical kind of dead spot in the grass. It'll look like dog pee. But what will happen, of course, is that that little yellow loony-sized spot is going to start getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So
okay,
you
I'll
watch
give you a
it.
Quote today for your cohort there, because he's always telling funnies. Some days you're a pigeon, other days you're a statue.
Oh, I couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate that. Okay. Yeah. It's a man thing, I guess, isn't it?
Keep
yep.
that in your mind, yes.
9:16 as we progress along in this Saturday morning and saying hi to our listeners. Hey, we've got a listener in Lancaster, New York. Marshall's on the line. Good morning, Marshall.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding zucchini,
yep.
We have not had a good yield this year. Actually, for the past 3 years, we have not.
Mm-hmm.
We get what appears to be a healthy-looking bush, and we do get blossoms mm-hmm. that are pollinated, and mm-hmm. we do get fruit.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit is about the size of a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
The blossom will fall off, and then the blossom end will wither.
Right.
And the fruit never reaches full maturity.
It just kind of withers on the vine.
It withers on the vine. They're very small. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just pluck them off when they wither, hoping that the plant will produce more.
Yeah, continue to flower and continue to get pollinated.
You know, we never seem to get full maturity. I think out of two plants we had this year, we got two zucchini.
You know,
were full size and good.
In my experience, when zucchini is doing all the things you're saying, it's growing, it's flowering, it's clearly getting pollinated, but you're not getting a lot of fruit, it has seems to have something to do with sun. Is it possible that your zucchini is in some shade? The plants, I mean?
Some shade. Yeah, not all the time. I would say, I've tried it in three different locations in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
First year, about 4 hours direct sun. Second year, about 8 hours direct sun.
Which should be better.
And the third year, well, about 6 hours direct sun.
Yeah, because the more sun, the better, I find.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with zucchinis. Now, and you do have to keep them moist. We had some, you know, were you watering when we were in the serious drought situation there?
Oh, yes, yeah. Every day.
And the other thing I've learned, and zucchini is completely true to this, be very careful with your vegetables. Always water, if you can, early in the morning. Not too early, not like 6 a.m., more like 8 or 9 a.m. if you can. That way the plants are dry when the sun goes down. And if we water too early in the morning, in the case of zucchinis and squashes, that's when the pollination takes place because that's when the flowers open. And if we water too early, number one, we scare away the little flying insects that might want to be doing the pollinating for us, but we also tend to knock the flowers off prior to pollination taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So timing on the watering, excuse me, is important as well. But you're good, you know, a well-drained, rich soil, kept moist, lots and lots of sun.
Okay.
Seems to be the real trick with zucchinis.
Okay, very good.
All right.
Now, thank
right
you very
now
much for your help.
In Lancaster, are you getting a ton of rain, too, today?
Yes, today we are.
Yep.
We had thunderstorms, and we had just pouring rain about an hour ago, so it's letting up a little bit, but we're getting rain much needed.
I was going to say,
everybody
drenching,
needs the rain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you very much for your help.
Okay, bye-bye now, Marshall. Thank you for joining us on The Garden Show here at AM 740, Zoomer Radio, and I believe it's Beverly in Niagara Falls who's on the line now. Hello, Beverly. Oh, wait a minute, just a second, I'm sorry. We have to go to a little bit of a break here. Mm-hmm. And that means it's exercise time.
That's right.
Right?
And you've got on your brand new headphones,
yes.
The disco phones.
My disco, they're laughing at my disco. Phones are white.
They're very white. So, you know, I'm just going to try and slow you down because I know you're just a dancing maniac. And, of course, the reason you're able to do all that is because Sierrasil keeps you limber, keeps you pain-free. And this is important because, you know, aches, pains in the joints tend to happen as we get older. So we want to maintain the freedom to maintain our favorite activities,
yes,
like disco dancing, with reduced aches and stiffness. We take Sierrasil every day, Frank and I, three little pills every day. And that more information you can get from their website, sierrasil.ca. Or you can pick up Sierrasil at many of the health food stores like Noah's Natural Foods at Eglinton and Yonge, St. Clair and Yonge, Bloor Street, and all of Noah's Natural Foods are in Toronto. Or give them a call at 1-877-JOINT-14.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And by the master gardener's side, the sous chef of the garden, Franklin Proctor.
The dancing.
Yes, indeed.
Maniac.
I know that Beverly is waiting to talk to you from Niagara Falls. Good morning, Beverly.
I'm redoing my front garden bed this fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to put a tree in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always liked the pagoda dogwood.
Yep.
Would it be suitable?
Okay, so, and this is, the pagoda dogwood is a lovely, lovely tree, one of my all-time favorites. It's called a pagoda, it grows almost like an umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
When we buy them, though, they tend to be fairly short, like it's a small tree. The tallest it ever gets is maybe 15 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a perfect size for a small yard or, you know, a bungalow because you never want, you know, trees that are overpowering the house. Perfect under hydro lines, anything like that. When it's a native tree, of course, so it's Cornus alternifolia is the proper name. It flowers in the spring. has berries in the summer, which the robins take very quickly, turns a lovely kind of a burgundy color in the fall before dropping its leaves. So it's, you know, lovely in every season. So it's a great tree as far as I'm concerned, but it isn't a huge tree. So I guess it just depends if you're looking for a tree you're going to be walking below, or this is a small tree to be a bit of a focal point in an area at the front.
It's supposed to be a focal point. And I do live in a bungalow.
Yeah. So perfect. I mean, as long as it's not something that, because they're wide, they don't get super tall, but they get wide. So make sure it's in a situation where its width will not be interfering with a walkway. You can allow it to achieve the kind of width it wants to get to.
It'll be at the corner of the house. Mm-hmm. It's just at the side yard then.
Right. Yeah. So there's no walkway or anything there.
So that it would survive and all that. When should I put it in?
Oh, you know what? The fall is a great time to plant. There's very few plants we don't plant in the fall. Birch comes to mind as something that we typically only plant in the spring. But otherwise, fall is a wonderful time to do our planting. The soil is nice and warm. There's a lot, typically a fair amount of rain in the fall, so the plants can get established very quickly and they're ready to go in the spring.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a great choice.
Thanks, Beverly. You're with The Garden Show and Charlie Dobbin here on Zoomer Radio AM 740 in Toronto as we now go to St. Catharines. Paula's there. Good morning, Paula.
I have a three-tiered strawberry planter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's growing crazy all year, like lots of growth, lots of runners, but no fruit, no flowers.
Aw.
So I don't know how to store it this winter because we're not like in a house, we're in a townhouse bungalow.
Right, and is it a terracotta planter or is it plastic?
Well, it's one of those green planters that looks almost like your clover, you know, like it's three and three and three.
Oh, right, so it's like stacked.
Alternately.
Mm-hmm. But it is made out of plastic?
Yeah.
Okay. And do they, can they come apart, or I guess you wouldn't want to?
Oh,
because
yeah, they can come apart.
Okay. All right, so that's a good question. Well, number one, strawberry plant, was it new this year? Did you just start the plants?
No, well, we moved in April to here, so I had brought, dug some of the plants that I had last year and repotted them in there. But it's filled out. I mean, the whole thing is full, and I keep taking the runners and planting them back up. And.
I'm wondering, are you fertilizing it?
Yes.
With what fertilizer?
It was like a fruit vegetable fertilizer.
Oh, really? Because often when we have super healthy, lush foliage on plants, it's because we are taking such good care of them, watering them, feeding them, that they do that. They grow crazy, lush foliage and never bother flowering or fruiting because there's really no need. They're perfectly happy.
Right.
And fertilizer can certainly make the difference. So sometimes we have to be a little tougher on our plants and not be, you know, care for them quite as perfectly. Now, that's not to say in a plant or above ground, we always have to be careful that there's sufficient moisture being provided to the plants. But for now, it's a bit late in the season. You're unlikely to get any flowers. You know, strawberries usually do all their flowering early in the season. So you're not going to get anything going on that way. For overwintering, the planter, if you can't bury the planter or, you know, separate it into three and then bury each of the kind of the levels underground, just underground is all you need. They should be kept in a frost-free location. So if you had a garden shed or a garage, someplace where you could overwinter the planters, because above ground is quite cold. Mm-hmm. Strawberries are very tough. You are in the banana belt down there in St. Catharines, so it is possible that it just won't get that cold and the strawberries would survive above ground. Mm-hmm. But to be on the safe side, I would bury the planters if you can, or put them in a shed or something like that.
Okay.
And next year, just fertilize in the spring once, get them into lots and like the sunniest location you've got, mm-hmm. and hold back on fertilizing after that. Wait at least 6 to 8 weeks before you fertilize again would be my suggestion next spring.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Take care now, and thanks for that call from St. Catharines. Mm-hmm. 9:27 our time, and very shortly we're going to be hearing from the one of the gals, either Libby Znaimer or Jane Brown, that walk to and women's cancer. See how everybody's making out in the rain. But they're going to be staying overnight at Rogers Center, I think, anyway, so that's okay. Meantime, we better push along if we get one more call in, do you think? Hey,
yeah. Sure.
All righty. Let's do that, and I believe it is Joyce from Guelph. Hello, Joyce. Welcome along.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, we have several rows of Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
And they've flowered into the garden show now. Pardon?
Oh, you know what? You have to turn your radio down.
Yeah, turn your radio down, Joyce.
I don't have my radio on.
Oh, excellent. Good. Well, okay. Sorry, I heard something in the background there. Go ahead.
I turned it off.
Okay. Is someone talking to you in the background? Hello, Joyce?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I have several rows of Sharon, and they've just flowered beautifully this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But they have so many seeds on them now that they're weighing the branches down. And I was just wondering, would it do any harm to cut those seeds off?
No, it wouldn't do any harm. I'm just trying to think if... The one thing is, I would try to avoid cutting them now, because if you cut them off now, you're likely to force out some new growth on the Rose of Sharon, just because it'll respond by growing if you trim it. And that new growth is likely to be frosted. If we, you know, when we do get a frost, the new growth will be tender and it's likely to die. Those tips might die in the frost. So that would be my one hesitation to trim now. I'd wait. If you can wait another month or so, then go ahead and do some trimming.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
Okay. So tell you what. Yeah. Why don't you, you could hang up and turn up your radio. Then you'll be able to hear and we'll do that again. Or you can listen to the podcast of this show when it's up on the AM 740 website. You can always listen to shows again. So,
okay,
hang up for
hang now, up
now,
Joyce. And Charlie will repeat what you had just said there, okay? All right. Sometimes there's a little bit of interference. I don't know what that problem was, but now to Joyce. Yep. We're going to be joined by Jane in just a flash here.
Okay, and I'm just one. Hopefully, Joyce has had a chance to turn her radio back up. Just wanted to say the Rose of Sharon in heavy bud and seed right now, heavy fruit, should be left alone if you can for at least a month or so, and then go ahead and trim anything off you want then, and likely have good success with no new growth happening and no death due to early frost to the tips.
Okay. Now, as we mentioned right at the top of the show, Charlie, mm-hmm. this is the weekend to end women's cancers benefiting the Campbell Family Institute at the Princess Margaret Hospital. And it's a weekend that they'll not soon forget for many reasons, I'm sure. But Jane Brown, our anchor on the morning news here at AM 740, is on the line with us right now. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Frank.
Morning, Jane.
Hi, Charlie.
There was kind of a resigned good morning, Frank.
So the question is
we
it...
We just deked into Princess Margaret Hospital, mm-hmm. The amazing facility that we've raised all kinds of money for. Close to $50,000 Team Zoomer has raised through generous donors like our AM 740 listeners. And so that's why it's so quiet, because I would never be able to hear you from the actual route.
Really? There's that many people out there?
There are about 5,000 walkers.
Wow.
Wearing all kinds of rain gear. They're getting absolutely drenched, yeah. But it hasn't dampened the spirits at all of the thousands of people taking part.
Now, when we were talking yesterday, Jane, you had mentioned you're going to be wearing or were planning to wear new footwear. And they were kind of like sports sandals, but would they work too well in the rain or what?
Actually, my Reebok athletic sandals are working out fine. I'm very squeaky here because I'm soaked, but at least I don't have wet socks or wet shoes,
well,
which is, you know, not the situation here for my dear friend and colleague, John Gallagher.
Uh-huh. He forgot his wellies, did he?
Nobody has their wellies. Most people have running shoes that are soaked through.
Oh, man.
No, it's
so
a whole...
I'm going to pass you the phone to John.
Okay, right. Okay, good enough.
The
yeah.
listeners want to hear from him, too, so hang on.
All right. Yeah,
good
they've got
morning.
A... Hey, good morning.
Good morning, John.
It's like that scene out of Forrest Gump, you know, when he's in Vietnam and the rain is coming at every direction. It's coming sideways. It's coming from underneath. It's coming from the gardener. It's coming from the lake.
And
that's right, because Mama said these are my magic shoes.
Hey, John, there's a whole new route apparently this year, right?
You know what? Jane has done it, and Libby, and then Dale Goldhawk, of course, is here, and John Vandriel. Who else from the morning show, and who else from the stations walking with
Moses?
Moses, of course.
Moses. Well,
they just take us basically every which way.
Wow.
We just follow the crowd and laughing and grinning, and it's been quite an experience. And we're just a couple of kilometers in, and 25 more to go. Oh,
now, wow. You're going to be staying tonight at the Rogers Center over the wet weather?
You know, I could. I may go home and feed the dog. I'm sure he's the guy at the door going, where's the guy with the food? My little guy, my little chocolate lab. So we may even walk right by my house. Wouldn't that be great? If we go up Avenue Road and maybe take a route here, a route there, I'll get a big bottle of Chardonnay and join.
That's
the
right.
There you go.
Deke inside and never come back out.
Well,
thanks,
John.
Thanks so much for your support, everybody. Jane, boy, she was close to... or even for over $4,000, I got close to do great. But you know, everyone's great. Smiling. It's a beautiful day. It's raining on the outside, but our hearts are warm from the inside.
There you go.
I'm gonna pass you back to Jane. Okay,
okay, thanks, John.
Thanks,
John Gallagher. One of the
thank you both for your support. And Charlie, in years past, we will, as we will today, walk through some of the really beautiful neighborhoods of Toronto,
mm-hmm.
and always admire all of the gardens and the work that people put into their lawns and their flowers. It's amazing.
I bet. Yeah, it's nice seeing it at the walking pace rather than racing by in a car or bus.
<That's right>.
Now well, tonight you'll be sleeping under the dome. I take it.
Yes. Under any dome at this point would be good news.
I imagine it'll be closed, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Jane, all the very best.
Yeah, exactly. Walk carefully. Our hearts are with you.
Thanks to both of you, and thanks to everyone out there who supported the Walk to End Women's Cancer.
Thank you. Jane Brown.
And John Gallagher.
And,
what a gang, eh?
I tell you, Team Zoomer, yep. Well represented this year. And, hey, it's all on such a wonderful cause, as I mentioned, raising funds for the Campbell Family Institute at the Princess Margaret Hospital.
And it's, what was it, like 25 kilometers they go today, and then another 25 tomorrow?
I think it's a total of 60. I think it's, I'm not mistaken. It's a long walk.
It is.
And spread over 2 days. Boy,
nice.
Oh boy. And
perfect.
So good on everybody.
Perfect
who,
for Zoomers.
Who is taking part in that. And those who have donated, too. Good
That's
on you.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Hey,
thank
we're
you.
9:35 here from AM 740, Zoomer Radio. And let's get back to the lines here now. Joyce in Acton is on the line. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a very special day, Lily, that was named in memory of my husband. And I want to divide it up and give my granddaughter a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
How do I go about it, and when do I do it?
Well, you could do it this fall, or you could do it next spring.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, is it quite a large clump, or you know how big is it?
Yeah, it's getting that way.
Okay, because daylilies are pretty tough.
Right.
What you do is you get yourself a digging fork.
Right.
And you get that nice with the moisture in the soil is going to be very, very good for us doing any digging or dividing of perennials or plants. So this rain is wonderful.
Right.
So once the ground is dried out a bit and it's not, you know, pure sogginess,
uh-huh.
a digging fork will help you lift the entire clump out of the ground.
Right.
And that's usually how to best divide daylilies if it's a good sized clump is lift the whole thing. Once you've lifted it, you'll see that there's multi plants in there. Wherever there's a little tuft of grassy leaves is a plant.
Uh-huh.
And all you need to give any of the family or friends that you want to share this plant with is ensure that they each of them receives at least one plant. So
right.
that's that little tuft of green leaves, and there'll be a little bit of root attached to that. It won't be much to start with, but that's all you need to start. And then from that point, theirs will grow into a big clump like yours.
Alrighty.
If you want to give them more than that, then it's just a sharp butcher knife, and it's a slice. You just slice up your big clump into smaller clumps,
mm-hmm.
replant, obviously, some back into your spot, encourage them to plant into full sun. Doesn't need to be great soil, but it has to be well-drained soil and lots of sun for the daylilies
yeah,
to thrive.
Yeah, I mean, because of the significance of it, I'd really like not to lose it.
That's right. Absolutely. So make sure they're planting in the right spot so
right.
the plant does well.
Very good.
Excellent.
Thank you ever so much for your help again.
And thanks so much for your
Stay
call.
Care.
Righto, Joyce, thank you for joining us here on The Garden Show. Master Gardener Charlie Dobbin on scene answering your questions. If you're in the Toronto area, call this number, 416-360-0740, and then anywhere else in the province, it's toll free, 1-866-740-4740. one of those numbers called by Pam here in Toronto. Well, you'd call the 416 number, I guess, yeah. Hi, Pam. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Charlie and Frank. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I was given by one of my daughters-in-law a bougainvillea mm-hmm. plant. I live in an apartment and I have it on the balcony, mm-hmm. and it blossomed beautifully three times, which the card with it said it would.
Mm-hmm, great.
What I'm wondering is, can I get this to winter so that I can retain it to next year, or would that not work out?
Oh, it's definitely worth a try because it's a lovely plant, but it is a tropical plant.
Right.
So to overwinter it, it must come inside your into your apartment.
Right.
What direction do you face?
I face east.
So you have morning light.
Morning sun.
Yeah. Well, so the trick with bringing a plant like that into your home is two things. Well, any plants that we're going to bring inside, we want to prepare them for that move by putting them in, starting them now into a shady spot outside. So no more direct sunlight on the plant outside. Move it into the shade for the next 10 days or so. And then at that point, you'll give it a full wash, soap and water, both through the soil and to the entire plant. Again, keeping it in the shade this whole time. Then you'll wash off all that soap and water. When you bring it in the house, though, or into the apartment, it'll go into the sunniest possible location that you have indoors.
Sorry, I didn't get that last sentence. When I bring it into my house.
Yes, you'll put it in the sunniest possible location that you have. The brightest,
yes.
Right in the window, whether it's the living room, the dining room, the kitchen, whatever's facing directly into as much light as possible where you need to put it once you're inside.
Right.
And then keeping it over the winter, you'll find it'll use less water inside than it was outside. So you'll be careful to not overwater it. Only water when let it dry down between waterings. Feel the soil before you water. No fertilizer all winter. You will find a few leaves will drop probably in this bringing it in. No big deal. Just, expect that to happen. Come spring, March, April, time to give it a little trim, start the fertilizing, and be ready to go back outside once we're frost-free.
Oh, wonderful, because it's been so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're worth keeping. They're lovely when they're...
Oh, they are. And I want to thank you both. I love your program and listen to it avidly.
Oh, thank
That's
you.
That's great. Thank you.
Appreciate
thank
that.
You. Have a good day.
You
All righty.
Too.
And very shortly, we're going to go from Pam to Sam here on the morning show. But first, we have to take a little bit of a break, Charlie. And we'll be back after these words here at The Garden Show from AM 740.
Don't change the radio station. Just because the weather changes, garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Well, Sam, I hope you're listening up there in Oshawa, because it's your turn next to talk to Charlie here in The Garden Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a smoke tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's roughly 25 years old, maybe better.
Mm-hmm.
Very aggressive. It grows real... But there's no blooms on it.
Oh, really?
Hardly ever.
Do you ever prune it? Have you ever pruned it?
I can't hear you.
Sam,
sorry.
Have you ever cut it back or pruned?
Yes, I have. Okay. I've cut it, but maybe it's the wrong time that I'm cutting it back.
I think so. Remember, smoke tree or smoke bush.
Yes.
Like you said.
It's a bush. It's a bush, but it's full and it's beautiful, other than
no flowers.
Just the odd maybe bloom on it. That, hardly any.
Okay, so the way it works with smoke bush or smoke tree is it's very, like you said, aggressive. If it's untrimmed, left alone, 25 years later, yes, 15, 16 feet tall and 10, 12 feet wide. So big, big bush. And we call them smoke bush because when they get the flowers look like smoke.
Yes.
So they're smoking when they're flowering, right? They're very, very pretty.
That's the idea, yes.
Yeah, so that's what one of the ornamental values or reasons that we plant them. So what I would do is they do bloom on new wood. So on the new growth in the spring is where the smoking flowers are going to happen. So all your pruning should take place early in the spring,
Early in the spring.
Early in the spring, before there's even any leaves, you can get out there and start doing some pruning. I find there's often some tip, what we call tip dieback or death on the tips of smoke bush in the spring anyway. So that's a perfect time to prune. So just go out. They're slow to come out with their leaves. You can go out sometimes right up until the end of May, and the leaves are still just tiny or in bud. And at that point, you cut away all the dead, thin out all the crisscrossing, intertwining branches, and stand back and say, okay, you know, I need this plant smaller. So bring the whole thing in by a third if you want. As much as a third, you can bring it right down and in at that time. Mm-hmm. Right up in, like I say, till the end of May. But after that, you don't want to do any trimming. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay. When do I start cutting? I know I've started cutting early in the spring. Can you do it in the fall or something?
You can, but I would be inclined to do it in the spring. You can do it in the fall if you want to. You know, the time to do it would be towards the end of September.
Yeah, when they're dormant.
That's right. When they're going dormant.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Sam, for joining us here on the Garden Show from AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Jerry on the line from Toronto. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a clivia plant, which is a little over 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And for about the last 5 years, it hasn't bloomed at all. So I put it out this summer to see if something would happen. I just recently brought in.
Mm-hmm.
But it still hasn't bloomed. So I wonder what I'm doing wrong.
Okay. So when was the last time you repotted that plant?
Well, it was pot bound until this summer, until I brought it out. And then I repotted it probably about a week ago.
Oh, okay. All right. So one of the things about clivia is that they do like to be pot bound. So now that you repotted it, of course, you know, it's in a bigger pot, obviously, than it was.
Yeah.
You watered thoroughly when you did that. And now you've got it. Are you back in the house with it or is it still outside?
It's back in the house, yeah.
Okay. So the trick with clivia, a couple of things. One is in the winter, you want to be very careful with your watering. You want the plant to go almost completely dry in between watering. So be careful you don't water too often. You know, use a moisture meter if necessary, or feel the weight of the pot, or stick your finger in. As long as there's moisture in the soil, no water. To guarantee flowers in the early summer or late spring with clivia, what you need as well is a cool spot in the winter. So that our houses tend to be dry and warm. And if there's any way you can provide a little cooler area than, the sort of 75 degrees that we keep our homes, you will be more guaranteed flowers in the spring than if it's just left at regular room temperature. But the watering steps up in the spring again. We start watering more. We start fertilizing in the spring. And like I say, that temperature gradient can make a real difference in terms of causing those flower buds to be formed.
Well, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Like I said, you know, it was blooming regularly for the last 5 years or so, and I just thought there might be something wrong with the plant because I've been looking after it for about 20 years and
right.
It's been doing well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and so you're saying that your care hasn't changed at all?
No, it hasn't.
But in the last 5 years? Well, like you said, that pot-bound aspect may have been a limiting factor. And the other thing is, remember, the soil gets depleted of nutrients. So it might have just been that the soil was old. Now that you've freshened up the soil, keep up that same care that you had been doing for the first 20, you know, first 15 years, and you're likely to have it blooming again.
Well,
if it's
very kindly.
If it's healthy, that's always a good start. And you obviously were doing something right, so go back to what you were doing and hope that repotting will make a difference.
Thanks very much.
All right,
Jerry. Thank you very much. And boy, we've got a busy show going here this morning. Fran in Oakville on the line. Good morning, Fran. Hello, Fran.
Hi.
Morning.
Hi. How are you?
Great. How are you, Fran?
Good to talk to you. I have a small bougainvillea plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's only about maybe 8 inches high, and I never repotted it after buying it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know what I should do to overwinter it.
What size pot is it in now?
Oh, I don't know. It must be about a 6-inch pot.
Okay.
6 inches across?
Yep, 6 inches are pretty standard, and if it's about 8 inches tall, that's probably about the size pot it's in.
Yeah.
You'll know it's time to repot that plant into a bigger pot if when you pick it up and look underneath, you can see little roots growing out the drainage holes.
Okay. Okay.
If you don't see any roots growing out the drainage holes, then do not repot it now. Mm-hmm. Wait until next spring. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, is it inside or outside?
Outside.
Okay. So, yeah, we had a caller a few minutes ago who had the same thing. She had a beautiful bougainvillea.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, she didn't want to lose it.
Yeah.
So, what I said to her was, of course, you probably have it in a sunny location now outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you'll do is move it into the shade, mm-hmm. leaving it outside. Keep it in a shady spot outside for at least 10 days. Mm-hmm. So 10 days from now, get out your soap and water solution. Mm-hmm. Give that plant a complete wash down and soapy water through the soil so you've got no bugs, no pests, no nothing on it. A nice clean rinse off all that soap before you go inside. And once you go in, you're going to go into the sunniest spot you've got inside your house.
Mm-hmm. I have a plant light.
Oh, do you? Okay, great. Yeah. So use the grow light. Mm-hmm. Remember, though, the plants know that fall is coming and winter's coming. So they are organizing themselves for shorter days and longer nights. Mm-hmm. You can sort of mess around with their physiology if you want to by putting your plant light on a 12-hour schedule, 12 mm-hmm. hours of sun and 12 hours of dark, or you can mimic what's going on outside.
Okay.
I would be inclined to mimic what's going on outside, but don't make the day any longer than, make the day at least, 8 hours or 10 hours of day length, mm-hmm. and then dark for the rest of it. And of mm-hmm. course, the plant light, you need to have a good distance between it and your bougainvillea. Otherwise, you can cause burning on the leaves, etc. But that certainly helps. The plant lights, grow lights are a great way to keep tropicals alive through the winter. Mm-hmm. Careful with your don't overwater in the winter. It'll use a lot less water indoors than it did outdoors.
Oh, waterless, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So feel the soil before you water.
Uh-huh.
And then leave it alone. In the spring, you'll start watering more, you'll start fertilizing more, you'll uh-huh. put on your light for longer, and it'll all start to, pop out new growth and be ready to go outside once we're frost-free.
Okay.
That's great, friend.
Good. Thank you so much.
Okay,
thank you for
call.
Listening.
Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Boy.
A lot of bougainvilleas out there this year.
I know. And boy, we've got listeners from Oakville tuned in this morning. We're going to be talking to another listener in just a moment. First, I'm going to rename myself Limber Larry because I'm going to start my exercises right now. Here we go.
There we go. And now, of course, the reason you are limbering and being
stretching.
Limber Larry is that you took your Sierra Sil today.
Yes.
And of course, Sierra Sil is a completely natural mineral supplement that both Frank and I take to help us keep limber and avoid aches and pains in the joints as we get older and stiffer and sit at computers and that sort of thing in the winter. It's nice to be able to get up and not be hurting. The trick with Sierra Sil is the people who make it are in Vancouver. They believe that it works for just about everybody and you will feel better within 14 days. If you don't feel better within 14 days, then they'll give you all your money back because they don't claim it works for everybody, just almost everybody. So for more information, give them a call at 1-877-JOINT-14 or check their website, sierrasil.ca. Or you could pick it up at any of the Whole Food markets where it is for sale now as we speak.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Sous chef of The Garden, Frank Proctor here along with Charlie saying hi to Dorothy in Oakville. Good morning, Dorothy.
It's a very timely question. Mm-hmm. My friend and I listen to your program every Saturday and absolutely love it.
Thank you.
My question is, how do you spell Sierra Sil?
Good question. All right. So
you talk about it all the time, but you never
spell it. All right. So it's Sierra like the mountains. So S-I-E-R-R-A.
And then S-I-L.
How do you spell the Sil?
S-I-L.
S-I-L. Is that all one word?
Yep. It is one word, though on their promotional material, they have both of the S's are capitalized, but okay. Sierra Sil is one word.
Well, we've been, my friend and I listen to you every Saturday, and we've been trying to look it up on the internet. And we've spelled it every which way, but this one, okay?
Good. I'm glad you called then. So Sierra,
thank
like the
you
mountains.
Thank very, very much. And continued with your program.
Google that.
Thank you, and thank you for being part of the gang here on Saturday morning. It's, it's really, it's almost a family affair here, isn't it? Hey, Klaus, good morning to you. Where are you calling from, Klaus?
Good morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a question. If I want to grow a tree out of a pit, if that pit needs to have a frost to germinate,
A fruit tree, yes.
Yeah.
It does, because in our world, that's the way that the seeds naturally do germinate. They are over, they're outside. Now, you can plant a seed and leave it outside over the winter, or sometimes what people will do is they will take a seed and then they will put it in some moist potting soil in a Ziploc bag in the freezer.
Huh. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I put it in a flower pot.
Okay.
And I have it inside because I'm afraid if I have it outside, the squirrel's going to dig it out and then I lose it.
Okay, you're right. Yeah. The squirrels could take it. What I would do is, leave it in the flower pot, bury the flower pot under the ground. You could lay, if you've got a little bit of chicken wire or an old piece of screen or something like that, over top of the flower pot to ensure that moisture can get in, but the squirrels can't.
Oh, yeah.
And just have that under the ground and then stick some stakes in the ground so you'll know where you've buried it and leave it for the winter. Next spring, you can dig it up and clean off the pot and sit it out and keep an eye on it and see what grows.
Yeah, okay. Could I do a different too, like to put the pot into the freezer?
You could. The main thing is you do need to keep that seed moist.
Yeah,
in a plastic bag. You know, if you've got room in the freezer, sure, why not?
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. So without the freezing, it wouldn't germinate.
It might, but it's going to take a really, really long time.
Oh,
it'll speed
okay.
it up if you do the chilling.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Much.
Thanks,
thank you.
Klaus. A garden show going now to a lovely little village just outside St. Catharines on the way to Niagara on the Lake. Virgil and Erica is there. Good morning, Erica.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you, folks?
Good.
Great.
Good. I'm wondering. I have a garden plot in a little community garden.
Nice.
And several are saying that there's a trend now for preparing the garden soil, not by, you know, spading it under every fall, but just removing the weeds. Is that correct, or is this?
Okay, so that's a good point you bring up. What I think you'll find in terms of a trend when it comes to soil preparation is that fewer people are using things like rototillers. We used to rototill and break up the clumps of soil with, you know, the machine that would really go through and kind of slice up the earth.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people aren't rototilling as much because they found that if you break the soil particles down so small with the rototiller, you can actually have a big impact on the for the ability of the soil to drain. And that sometimes those particle sizes need to be left large. Nothing wrong with digging, but of course, when we dig our soil, we're actually walking on it as part of the digging. So you've got to be sure that you're walking, you know, you're not walking where you've dug.
Yeah.
Because that kind of undoes the point.
Uh-huh.
Digging is a great way to just ensure you've got, you know, again, good air circulation, good moisture penetration through the existing soil.
Mm-hmm.
Removing weeds is a great idea always, at least ensuring that the weeds do not flower.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting those no seeds on the weeds, we have a lot fewer weeds next year if we can get the flowers off.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, digging is a great thing. You know, it's great exercise, but sometimes I think for many of us, it's like, yeah, I just lay a lot of leaves on top and let the worms do the work. You know, they do a lot of chewing up and breaking up of the soil at my place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bit of a trend as well.
Yeah. And so what about, like, when you do dig it in, is to take like a mixture of leaves that are chopped up and grass clippings?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And dig those in?
You can dig those in or lay it all on the surface this fall, and you'll find it's all can be maybe more easily dug in next spring. But either way, it will all disappear very quickly if you get all the lawn clippings and leaves on this fall.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Charlie.
That's great. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Call.
Have a wonderful weekend, and thanks
Thank
for joining
you.
Us here. Okay.
And soil is close to my heart.
Yeah.
Very important to have
you know
good
I forgot?
Soil.
I forgot in a little anno production area that we, you know, get all our prep work done, I left a little liner, what they call, to promo a show that's starting today at 11 o'clock. Normally, I'm on the air at 11, but from now on, there's going to be a doctor show on between 11 and 12, and today is the inaugural flight. So I just want to wish everyone well on that.
Okay.
And,
it's a doctor
sure,
show or a health
yeah,
show?
Health show.
Yeah,
I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, see, Healthy I left
living.
The little liner.
Stay tuned
well,
at 11 for a new show.
It was your fault. Pulling off your jacket over your head distracted me. And so I'm not
dripping.
Taking the blame on this one.
You're going to have
but
to.
But anyway, you listen to a brand new show right here at 11 o'clock on AM 740.
After the men and their garage are
Oh,
done.
Dave and Al and everybody else in here to entertain and inform.
And thank you, Christina, David Gaskin, wonderful help. Thank you, Frank. You're always such a good sous chef. Thanks to all our great callers. See everybody again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.